This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Agitin Erev Shabbos, Agitin Moyed. We're learning Daf HaShavua. We're continuing in Daf HaShavua. And we are up to, we're learning Mesachas Ksubas, Daf Pei, Pei Amud Beis, right? Because we mentioned Pesach is a compound word, Pesach. So we're doing the Peh part, Peh Amud Beis. Okay, we're discussing, starting from the bottom of Pei Amud Aleph, where the Gemara is discussing writing a shtar where the information recorded in it is accurate, but at the time it was written, it didn't happen yet. So it's not actually fully true, not in substance, because ultimately that event happened, but at the time it was written, what it's recording hadn't happened, so it's not really totally true. Is that an issue of the shtar looks like it's somewhat false? So Gemara says, Velesa, it is in fact not a problem. We're five lines from the bottom. Velesa, it's not actually a problem. Rapapi wanted to say that writing such a shtar was an issue because it's machzi kashikra. The Gemara says, no, it's not a problem. Mid Rav Nachman, because of a teaching of Rav Nachman. Why? Dam Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman said, Oimer hay Rameir. Rameir would say, even if a get was found in the garbage, let's say a man happened to write a get for a woman and he decided not to, so it's thrown into the garbage. And then someone, Yankel, whose wife's name was Shprinsa, wanted to divorce his wife. He said, well, what a mitzia. Instead of spending $200 on a get, I found a free get. So the halacha is v'chasamai, if it was signed, unasana eleni gave it to her, kasher, it's a kasher get. Why? Because Rav Meir Shita is a get does not have to be written lishma, it just has to be signed lishma. So this get was signed lishma. Now, why isn't it possible for a different reason? That it was written, forget about the fact that it wasn't written lishma, but it wasn't written for this event. So isn't it mechsi kashikra? V'afil rabbanan, even the chachamim, who argue in Rameir, Loi Plig Aled Rameir El Begitei Nashim. They only argue regarding documents of a get. Why did it inang siva lishma? Because a get has to be written lishma. Avo Bashar Shtarais, Maidulei. But other Shtarais, the Chachamim would agree that they're valid, even though they were not written for that event. And there's no concern of Mechsi Kashikra. Dam Rav Asi, Am Rav Yachan. Rav Asi said the name Rav Yachanan. Shtar Shalava boy, if a shtar that was used to borrow money, uparai, and then it was paid, enoi chayzer v'leivavai. It can't be used again to borrow. Shekvar nimchal shibudai. Because the shibud, the lien, basically, has already been nullified. It's already been forgiven. It means as a, like this. If I lend Pliny money, if I lend Ruvain money, then I am entitled, the document allows me to collect the debt from Reuven, and it allows me to collect from his land. His land is meshubah to me. Let's say he pays me back, and then he borrows again. So I figure, okay, I'll use this same shtar to collect from his land. No, it cannot be reinstated. Can't be reinstated. Why? Because the lien created by the shtar has already been absolved. But that implies the only reason it can't be used is because the lien has been absolved. Time of the nimchal shibudai. The reason is because the lien was absolved. We're not concerned that it looks like it is false. We're not concerned for that. Okay. Now, this is really an amazing Gemara. I'm sure if we have time on Sunday to dig into something here, this is a fantastic subject of using circumstantial evidence to judge even monetary case. We know according to Torah law, technically speaking, not only capital cases, but even monetary cases, you need edim. You can only extract money with witnesses. Al pi shnayim edim yakum davar. You cannot extract money with circumstantial evidence, but the power is given to dayanim under certain circumstances to use certain compelling evidence to adjudicate a case. For example, somebody told me, a relative told me, that he had jury duty, and he got out of jury duty by saying that, you know, he, when he was asked, is there anything that you think would affect the way you look at this case? He says, yeah, according to Torah law, we can't use circumstantial evidence. We can only use witnesses. And that's technically true by monetary law as well. So listen to this case. Hugaver the Afgid Shav Marganiyasa Ditsai Ribastina. There was a guy, he deposited 7 jewels, 7 pearls, wrapped in a handkerchief, Bei Rav Miyasha Bar Berei Rabbi Shimon Levi, with Rav Miyasha, the son of the son, Rabbi Shimon Levi. So basically, he deposited this, these very expensive jewels with the grandson of Rabbi Shimon Levi, Shachiv Rav Miyasha. Rav Miyasha, the grandson of Rabbi Shimon Levi, died. Veloy Paked, and he did not write a will. So he didn't tell the members of his family regarding why he had possession of these pearls. Also, the commander Rav Ami. So they came in front of Rav Ami, the person who deposited by Rav Miyasha and the inheritors of Rav Miyasha. The one who deposited says, it's mine. And he gave a simon. And the heir said, what are you talking about? Maybe it was our father's. Amar Lahu, so Rav Ami said, Chada, number one, the Adanabe. First, I know that the grandson of Shimon Levi was not rich, so there's no way he could have owned pearls. And moreover, the person who deposited is giving a simon. Now, typically, if the person deposited just gave a simon, that would let's think for a moment. If normally, if he would have given a simon, should a simon be a raya that he gave it over to him? It's not a raya. It's only a raya that once upon a time he owned it, but maybe Rav Miyasha bought it, or maybe, he may have bought it, but in combination with the fact that he wasn't wealthy, so he definitely didn't buy it. So how did it get into his possessions? Somebody obviously gave it to him. So the fact then that he gives a simon, the fact that he gives a simon means it was once his. The fact that he wasn't wealthy means that it must have been given to him. Now, what if Rav Miyasha was alive and the person who gave it to him gave a simon? Let's see Rashi. Rashi says, I know he's not an Oishar, and Hadakayav Simana. Toisvis says, V'oid Hakayav Simana. Toisvis says, he gave a simon. In Lefarsh, V'oid Afilu Amid. The V'oid is not, and even if he was rich, he's giving a simon. Because if he was rich, a simon doesn't help. Because maybe he bought it. Even though, by the way, this simon that he wrapped it in a handkerchief, one would not typically know unless the person gave it to him. But it's still not enough of a indication that it's his. We need two proofs. Proof number one is there's no way that he bought it. And in terms of, okay, someone deposited by him, but who deposited by him, that's where the simon comes in. So
the fact that he came knocking on his door, though, would that also not be a proof in and of itself? He came knocking. It's not like he got publicized. Who, you know, something was left at this house. No. The guy actually went out of his way to go knock on the door. Okay, I want my deposit.
Oh, so, I mean, is that itself some type of simon? The fact that, that he knew that something was up here.
Right. So the fact that he goes knocking, it's not that it was announced in the paper, you know, lost item in this house. He actually went and knocked on the door.
Yeah, good. But here, listen, the Gemara throws in another wrench because you're mentioning a good point. You know, isn't the fact that he knew to claim it, isn't that itself a raya that maybe it belonged to him? I mean, how did he knew what he had a nevuah that there were seven pearls wrapped up in his? So the Gemara says, "Vlay Amran el Dolei Ragel da Ayal v'Nafik l'Hasam." His whole claim to be able to give a siman if he did not frequently go in and out of that property. Avo Ragel da Ayal v'Nafik l'Hasam. But if he frequently came in and out of that property, Ema in Afked, you could conjecture, or you have to be suspicious that maybe a different person deposited v'iyu mechsi, and he saw it. Chavi mechsi chaza. And he happened to see it. So the siman only works if he did not frequent the house of Rami Yashia. Another story. Hu gavra de ifkid kasa de chasa be chasa. There was a guy who gave over a kasa, a kais, a cup, de chasa of silver, be chasa, to the house of chasa. Now, chasa was a guy, if you remember, from Yevamos on the Kuf Chaf Aleph from the days, Chasa drowned. V'loy Paked, Chasa did not tell his family what to do with his possessions. Also, came to Rav Nachman. So they came before Rav Nachman. Amar Lo, Rav Nachman said, first of all, Yadana Be B'Chasa Le'Amit. I know Chasa wasn't rich, so he could not have bought it. V'oid, Haka Yoheb Simana. Also, the person claiming it is giving a siman. And this siman only works. V'loy Amran Zalayu Ragil, the Isle of Nafaglahasim, it's only as long as he did not frequently go up and into that possession. Abu Ragil, the Isle of Nafaglahasim, but if he frequently went up and out into his possession, Amar, in a Shachrina Afgid, I would say that somebody else deposited it with him. V'iyu Mechsa Chaza, and the person who's asking about it, is claiming it, he saw. So now we have another story, a third story. Hu da Afgid Metachsa Be Rav Dimi Achud Rav Safra. Somebody deposited metachza, a garment of silk, by the house of Ravdimi, the brother of Safra, Shachar Ravdimi. And Ravdimi died. V'loy paked, he didn't command what should be done with his possessions. Asa kamei de Rav Abba. So they came before Rav Abba. Amar lahu, Rav Abba said, first of all, chada di adana be Ravdimi d'lo amet. I know that Ravdimi wasn't rich. V'oid ha kayov simana. Moreover, the person asking for it gave a siman. That this only works if he did not frequently go into that house. But if he frequently went to that house, Ema, I would say, Inish Achwina Ifgid, maybe somebody else deposited the Iu Mechsa, and the person claiming it saw it. Okay.
Why do we need three? Say, seem to be identical, the three stories. Why do we need three stories? I know the Rav doesn't like stories so much.
Right.
Seems to be no nafkamina. I don't know.
Right. So it seems to be Shainim say because it's basically to establish that under the, if it meets this threshold of clarity to the Dayanim, then they would be allowed to paskin based on this. In other words, to indicate that we paskin like this teaching that if the Dayan has clear, sort of beyond the shadow of a doubt, circumstantial evidence that they could rely on it. So we have three
Okay.
scenarios just to show that this is in fact a halacha. Okay. Hahu de Amar Lahu, Nechsaye Latovya. Somebody said he's about to die, and he said, you know, my possessions should go to Tovya. Shachav, he died. Asa Tovya, a guy walks in the door, his name is Tovya. Amar Rabbi Yochanan said, Hare ba Tovya, Tovya came. We're going to give it to him. And the fact that this guy walked in the door first, and his name is Tovya, that indicates that he's the guy. And we don't have to be worried, maybe some other Tovya is going to walk in the door later. Because if he walked in, he probably knew that, you know, he was close enough with this guy, and probably the guy was leaving him a Yerusha. Amar Tovya, what if he said all my possessions should go to Tovya, but also Rav Tovya, and Rav Tovya came? So then we say no, Latovya Amar. He meant to give it to Tovia, L'Rab Tovia Lo Yomar. If the guy's name is Rav Tovia, then we don't assume that this was the guy he had in mind. But if he is very comfortable with Rav Tovia, then we say, you know, he meant Rav Tovia. He's so friendly with him. He didn't call him Rabbi. Hagaspe, then he's comfortable with him. What if Asu Shnei Tovia, two Tovias walked in? Shachem Vitam Chacham, one's a neighbor. Very likely he gave it to his neighbor. After all, he probably wanted to help out his close neighbor. On the other hand, the other one is the Talmud Chacham. Talmud Chacham Kaidim. The Talmud Chacham takes precedence. Why? You know, what would the logic of that be? This is not a matter of helping a Talmud Chacham. This is a matter of who would this guy have wanted to give it to? Who did he mean? When he said Tuvia, did he mean a neighbor or a Talmud Chacham? We say a Talmud Chacham. Why? Because why is he giving away money before he dies? Why isn't he leaving it to his children? The answer is, before he goes to the world to come, he wants to make sure he has enough food to eat in the world to come. Right? The Sefer Chafetz Chaim talks about that a person should leave over something considerable so that his neshama in Shamayim is earning residual income even when it's upstairs. So the Chafetz Chaim quotes the son, the father of the Shlach HaKadosh, that in terms of leaving over money, Lachamei Vesim Shana, not to leave over everything to tzedakah, but also not to leave over everything to one's descendants, because ultimately, what's more beneficial for the neshama is the zuchus of Hachzakas HaTorah. So this person, presumably, he's giving away money before he dies. He wants the zuchus, and the greatest zuchus, the Gemara says in Bracha, is that all the nevuah of the Nevi'im about Olam Haba was stated regarding Hachzakas Talmid Chachamim. So we assume he wanted to give it to the Talmid Chacham. Talmid Chacham Kaidim. Karoi B'Talmid Chacham. Let's say there are two guys named Tuvia. One's his first cousin, or one's his uncle, or one's even his a close relative, and the other's a Talmid Chacham. Talmid Chacham Kaidim. Talmid Chacham takes precedence. What if it's a neighbor or a relative? Says Gemara, Shachin, right? Who takes precedence? Tashma, Toiv, Shachin, Karoiv, Me'ach, Rachai. Better a close neighbor than a distant brother. What does that mean? Someone who's your neighbor, who you're close with, in a certain sense, is more dear than a relative, like a brother, that lives far away. Shneim Kroivim, if they're both relatives, Ushneim Shchenim, or let's say they're both neighbors, Ushneim Chachamim, or what if they're both Tamei Chachamim? Shuda Dadaini. Shuda Dadaini means we let the Dayan of the judges decide. They basically have to make an evaluation. We leave it up to their judgment to determine who they take an educated guess, so to speak. Based on the best available understanding, who would this person have wanted to give it to? Amar le Rava lebrei d'Rav Chiya bar Avin. Rava said to the son of Rav Chiya bar Avin, Ta, come, Eimalach milsamal yusa, tell me some of your very good things, that have Amar Avach, that your father, Chiya bar Avin, would say. Tell me some of the great things that your father, Chiya bar Avin, would say. Hada Amar Shmuel, regarding what Shmuel said. Shmuel said, "Hamoicher shtarchav l'chaveiroi, one who sells a document of debt to his friend." Let's say like this: I lent Reuven $100, so I have a shtar that Reuven owes me $100. Let's say I sell it to Shimon for $97. I sell Shimon a promissory note to collect from Reuven, b'chazar u'machalai, and then I decide afterwards I'm going to be moichel the debt. Machal, it's forgiven. It's nullified, which is a big chiddush, because I thought I gave it over. I gave you over the right to collect. So don't I give you ownership of the debt? It seems like we don't view it that way. I don't give you ownership of the debt. I remain the owner of the debt. I just give you the right to collect it. But really, it's owed to me, and you have the right to collect it. However, if I'm moichalit, then you can't collect it anymore. Not only can the owner of the debt be meichel, but an inheritor, in other words, let's say the person who sold the debt dies, his inheritor could be meichel the debt. But Moide Shmuel concedes, if a woman brings into a marriage a document of debt, let's say Shprinsa marries Reuven. Shprinsa says, Reuven, you know, this is going to be such a good wedding. Fivel owes me $1,000. I'm bringing that into the marriage. So now the two of us, I own the principal of the debt. You own the payrolls of the debt. I'm bringing it into the marriage. And then she's Meichel the loan. She can't do that because his hand is like her hand. Even though she brought it into the marriage, but now he assumes ownership over it. V'chazu mechalatai, if she then is meichelet, she'enoy machel. It's not machel. Why? Mimnei sheyadai kiyada. His hand is like her hand, and therefore she is not able to be meichelet because she owns the peiros, and he owns the peiros, and she owns the guf hakarka. Okay.
Then we learned differently before in the beginning of the chapter that we said that she could sell the land, but he's still entitled to the fruit while the other owner has the property.
Oh, so you're saying if she could sell the land and he owns the fruit, so here also she should be able to be Michael.
And if she dies, then that connection is gone. But here, the fact that, okay, sell the...
I don't know. What would it mean for her to be Michael the debt and he still owns the fruits? Like, what ownership is there? Normally, what does it mean that he owns the fruits? Let's say money earns interest, I guess?
Yeah.
Do you mean she should be able to be Michael the debt and... Not sure. Meaning, why can't she be Michael the debt and he still owns the Paris?
So the Rosh, I remember at the beginning of the chapter.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
continues. So a relative of Nachman sold the ksuba for Taivasana. That means like this. A woman owns the ksuba, which means she has the ability, if he divorces her or he dies first, to collect 200 zuz. The thing is, for her to sell that, it's not worth too much because he may never divorce her or she might die first. So 200 zuz ksuba is worth a few pennies. So she sold it. Igrisha Shchiva. She was divorced and then she died. So now the person who bought the ksuba came to the daughter and said, look, I own the ksuba. I want to collect it. Asu katavale lebrate. He was tavea the ksuba from the daughter. Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, leka de lizba la etza. Could someone give her the following etza? What is it? Tezel v'tichla l'ksubasa. Let her be moichel l'ksuba l'ima l'gabe yavua. If she's moichel it, so then the guy can't collect it anymore. The person who bought it can't collect it. Okay, we'll see more next time. When will next time be? I don't know. I'm thinking maybe we would do maybe Sunday. I'm not sure. Let's see. Maybe Sunday and maybe Matzah Yom Tov. Let's see how things play out. Okay?
Thanks. Are we doing Sunday morning? No.
I'm going to try because I'm coming back Matzah Shams. Yeah.
Okay, perfect. All right, perfect. Okay. Thank you so much, Aham.
Thank you. Regards.
All the best. Thanks so much.
Kaltov. Be well.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.